This is Zombie Takeout's Last Stand, the beginning of the end. What's up? Welcome to episode 233 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, let's just get straight to this week's movie, which is from 2012, Resident Evil Retribution, finishing our look at the Resident Evil series.
The finish line.
Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by location shooting. When you're writing your next movie, consider location shooting. It just might write most of it for you.
And also brought to you by Bad Guys. When the Red Queen is your movie series arch-villain, you might want to call on some bad guys. All right, so, when we last left our heroes, they were aboard the Arcadia, and they were being attacked by a swarm of helicopters. And that is exactly where this one begins, of course. Wouldn't it have been hilarious if they did begin that at that point, though?
It begins there with a slight twist.
Well, yeah, they get nice and stylish with the credits by showing what happens in reverse, then of course you see everything in full speed straight ahead.
After the recap monologue.
Yes, after the same fucking recap. I was thinking of like, now you know why George Lucas used the crawl.
Yeah.
Because this gets old.
Especially when she has to recap the first movie on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, like, no need to do that when you're at the fourth sequel.
Right. This is the fifth movie in the fucking series.
Anyway, back to the summary.
We get it. She's working for the Umbrella Corporation. They're badasses, and it's just all gone to shit. And the zombies apocalypse has begun.
If you put all the recap monologues together, it probably would take less time to watch the first movie.
Yeah, I think it would. But anyway, so, of course, the battle does not go well because
it's a Resident Evil movie and Alice has to get captured.
There's a swarm of helicopters and
three people on board who know how to fight. Well, there's a swarm of Ospreys and three people on the ship who know how to fight.
Right. So, yeah, it's a pretty decent bloodbath just to start the film off. And of course, we have, again, Alice, camera on her sideways, knocked over. You know, I wonder how many times, how many times did they start with her, or at least have that shot of her sideways, head to the ground kind of thing?
Five movies, I'm going to say at least probably six times. They did it in the last movie at all. But I'm going to say maybe between the other four, maybe six times.
Because they've done they begin, the first shot with her is her head down in the shower in the very first one. And I think it's done multiple times in a couple of movies.
That shot comes back it came back in the last movie. I forgot about that one. They started at the shower again.
Yes. So my guess is it's got to be in the double digits.
Possibly.
It's got to be at least 10
I don't know if they've
times.
Done it twice per movie, but maybe.
Because she's like woken up in different places.
Yeah, okay.
And then, they found her like someplace knocked out. And
if you count in the tanks, it's kind of the same shot.
Yeah. So anyway, she's back in the gown. In the big umbrella room. you have the floor as an umbrella? Well, they really like their logo, see. And of course, is it just me or is the umbrella? I mean, I've been meaning to say this, I don't know how many episodes now, but the umbrella logo, isn't it like the Iron Cross?
I think that's meant to be kind of an implication. It's really just a red and white umbrella looked at from the top.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, I think the Iron Cross is implied.
Which is kind of weird because this is kind of a German film too.
Yeah, true. And they kind of try to avoid any references to that sort of thing.
So anyway, she's back in the sideless gown, and the or the piece of paper they have over her. I
Yeah,
don't know
well,
what the fuck.
two.
Yeah, to be like, what's the point of that as a gown? But anyway, so yeah, she is taken pretty much through like a one of her clone lives. She has a family and everything, but I was kind of confused as to how she knew about the clone life.
Well, no, that's not her. But she doesn't know about that. That's just a change in scenes.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
They fake you. They show her. They kind of zoom in on the face or the eye again, probably, and then they switch to clone Alice. You knew it was a clone.
Right.
See, I thought it was a dream the first time.
No, I knew it was a clone because they had the guy who was dead already, you know,
Yeah.
back and stuff. But the thing was, later on, when she meets her clone daughter,
Of, yeah.
or actually, is that just a younger version of her? I'm not even sure, tell you the
They
truth.
don't establish.
No. Because that would be the other thing if you're going to grow a clone to grow her from an earlier age, maybe. And that could very well be it, that they could reveal that in the next one. Who knows? But anyway, she seems to know that her daughter is deaf.
You mean the Prime Alice, the one we've been
Yes.
following. She seems
Yes.
to know sign language for some reason.
Right. And she
Well,
fully.
she knows she's deaf because she talks to her, and you can tell by the way she talks that she's deaf. Incidentally, the actress actually was hearing impaired.
Interesting.
But the fact that Alice suddenly knows sign language is a little odd.
Right, exactly. She seemed to fall, and it could just be, of course, shitty writing, which this is very much guilty of. She
It's a
just
Resident Evil movie. What do you expect?
falls immediately into the family life that this clone had somehow.
Yeah, she kind of immediately adopts the kid, and then they have a rapport part kind of straight away.
And yeah, you know what? Now I think about it, because you see, I just finished watching this like 20 minutes ago.
Same here.
That could just very well be shitty writing, where they go, "Oh, well, she just takes her on as her own, and she knows sign language, and she's her daughter and stuff."
It's called expediency. That stuff doesn't really matter in these kind of movies.
Anyway, I'm trying to think of where I left off. Oh yeah. They of course they go through the whole she manages to escape from her confines when we get back to Alice Prime. And she is back in the Tokyo scene
From the beginning of the last movie.
and the stuff they explain is just so painful. Like what a simulation is and stuff. But anyway.
Basically, Umbrella has several cities recreated in their underground facility where they run experiments to kind of show the progression of the T-virus.
Right, and so they go through a lot of the same things that they had in the I'm trying to remember which one, last movie, where she's at the Tokyo subway
See a bit more
station.
of what happened in Tokyo, and a slight variation on it, actually, because Alice is there.
But of course, it does bring up the question: has she ever left Umbrella?
That's an interesting point. I never thought about that.
Because isn't it odd that the Tokyo simulation had the same people
Yeah.
from the last movie, the
Well,
same zombie woman?
I think what we saw in Tokyo in the last movie was a simulation.
I
We're
think
just seeing a different simulation, a different run of that simulation in this movie.
that then you're right there with me then.
Which means, but has she ever left Umbrella? That's interesting. Maybe that's something they'll reveal in the next one. The
Because
suburbs where we see the housewife version of Alice, as I've been calling her, is clearly Raccoon City from the beginning of two.
yes. So think about that. They had the same that wasn't supposed to be a simulation in the beginning of the last movie.
Right.
That was her storming the Umbrella Corporation
Yeah.
headquarters.
And that was supposedly actually happening. That was how
Right.
the that's how the virus hit Japan.
Right.
And then she storms in, right?
So yet they go to a simulation and they
Same thing
have the
happens.
same woman, the same cop,
The same
the
guy who
same,
gets bitten.
exactly, all the same people there. So you have to wonder,
She ever leave Umbrella? That's a good
has
point.
she ever left Umbrella? Like from, I don't know from what point you could say she's been in there, maybe for, after the third one.
Well, maybe even since she was taken in the first one.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe waking from when she woke up in the mansion and went underground. Maybe she's never actually left that facility.
Yeah.
Or not specifically that facility, but any Umbrella facility. Maybe it was all a simulation.
So, I mean, really, when it comes to the plot summary, anyway, they go through this whole Epcot Center thing that they've got going on, where they've got all the simulations. They fight. You pretty much see a curtain call from cast members from almost all the cast members from the past film.
You see a lot from the first one. Well, two particular casualties from the first movie.
Yes.
You see Carlos from 2 and 3, Jill from the set 2, and briefly in the last one.
I think you're just missing the Game of Thrones guy, Ian
Oh yeah, Ian Glen,
yeah,
but he
Ian
doesn't come
Glen,
back.
he's the only one I
None of the
think.
evil doctors come back
Right.
because they weren't clones.
Yeah.
Which
Yeah.
makes you wonder if Jill was a clone.
That makes sense. So they have this crazy that they have this task force is somehow called in to try to get her out. They have many gun battles and zombie fights, and I guess you could say hilarity ensues. Plot-wise, very much here.
Well, this is the most action-heavy of the entire series, by
Yes,
far.
thank God.
So, they don't have much room for a plot.
This is more of what I was expecting for the other four.
Yeah, watching this, I'm thinking, you have to have been enjoying this one a bit more than the last couple, at least.
Definitely, definitely. The last two. I mean, there was probably more action in the first half hour of this movie than in the last two combined, I would say. It was, I mean,
In the whole of this one, then the last two, definitely. I don't know about the first half hour.
if anything, I would say it was too rushed, you know? Like it's hard to get sucked into, you know, believing it's some things are that are actually happening. There are things that could have had a lot more impact if we had maybe gotten to know that Strike Force better or something like that. 'Cause in the end you really could hardly care less that the guy gets chainsawed or anything like that. It was just kind of like this almost a comical thing of him like convulsing and just the splatter.
It's a Resident Evil movie. I have in my trivia, film critics criticized the film for its character's plot and acting while praising the 3D visual effects and fight choreography. Why are you watching a Resident Evil movie?
It
3D visual effects, fight choreography.
is actually the worst acted film in the series.
It
No,
could
no
be.
doubt about that.
It could be.
It definitely is. I mean,
Although,
even
I thought it was.
people that had been in past ones put up just really bad performances.
Paycheck performance,
Oh,
yeah.
definitely. Oh my God.
Was interesting to see Michelle Rodriguez go completely against type. Because she usually plays a badass, but there's a good Rain in this one, as opposed to the
Oh,
evil
that's
Rain.
right. That's right.
Where she plays a nice version of Rain. That was interesting. Not exactly pleasant to see her play against type, but it was interesting because I've never seen it before.
Suburban Rain.
Yeah, pacifist and, hates guns and
Yeah.
very nice and pretty much the opposite of every other role you've seen Michelle Rodriguez in. But rolling back to the beginning, actually we have proof that she wasn't in Umbrella at the end of 4, because
Okay.
they established that the ceilings are 300 feet tall in these simulations. And those Ospreys were way more than that, way higher than that when they were attacking.
I don't know. I mean, just kind of a simulation from, I mean, it's like the holodeck in Star Trek.
But they say give you a number 300 feet tall, and you and those Ospreys, when they first come in, when you first see them come in, are clearly higher than that.
I don't think the Ospreys were real.
Well, they were kind of shooting up the ship, so.
Hmm.
And you know, Jill and then the commandos were coming down from them, so they had to be. Actually, I don't know if Jill ever jumps, but the several commandos do.
Yeah, Jill does jump.
He does. So, yeah, they had to be in something. So those Ospreys were there. So at least at the end of the last one, she was not in Umbrella. For the rest of it, she very well could have been, particularly for the second one. Now, I never quite understood Anderson's choice to show that scene backwards at the beginning. I was listening to the commentary.
Because
for this one, I have the actual full DVD. With the other four, I have them all on the same disc and no extras. This one, I have the full DVD, all the extras. So I have the commentary. And he said, showing Alice coming out of the water, because it starts, you know, after she'd fallen in the water and shows her rising to the top. That was supposed to be representative of her resurrection, which is a common theme throughout the movie. She's harder to kill in this one than in any of the previous ones.
It's comical.
Evil Rain stops her heart at one point, and she still fights.
She breaks her skull.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just beyond comical at that point.
And Anderson also admitted that he did it pretty much because it looked cool.
Of course, that's right. That's the only reason he did it. There's no representation here or anything like that. Wow, this dude has really deluded himself.
I think he honestly believes that it's the resurrection thing.
And what's with the stealing of the last action hero axe toss shot?
There have been a couple of those slow motion axes, not axes, but the slow motion toss scenes. They were all over the last one. It's Anderson making the most of the 3D.
I think he stole the last action hero axe toss backward, you know, fade shot like three times in this movie they used it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, where, actually I don't. It's been too long since last action hero. I don't remember the scene.
The bad guy that had the axe, he was throwing it, and Schwarzenegger is falling backwards with the axe passing over him.
Okay, yes. Yes, and they did that a few times, you're right.
He used that like three times in this. I mean, I'd understand using it once because what the fuck? It's a cool shot. Mm-hmm. Why not? Last Action Hero is a fucking awesome film, and I think
he's ripped off other movies, so why not?
Exactly, why not? But when you start using the same shot three times, it's kind of like, that was cool then, too. Okay.
See, and I'll say it again. For me, the fun of these movies is that he does shit like that. It's amusingly bad to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love these movies. Now, I did enjoy The Fall of Raccoon City. Just seeing Alice running away instead of fighting was interesting.
Oh, yeah, the whole suburbia scene.
Yeah. Although it was interesting that, you know, when she was freed from the Umbrella facility, or at least from the room she was being kept in. She never really leaves Umbrella till the end.
Right.
She changed in... Actually, I can't say necessarily say change. She got dressed in a minute. Basically, Wesker and Ada Wong free her. And there's this countdown to when the computer's going to reboot. And she has to clear out in that time.
Right.
So, you know, 1 minute 30, the drawer... No, 1 minute 40, the drawer opens with all of the clothes for her.
Very convenient that they'd have the clothes right there, huh?
And then 30 seconds, she's walking out fully dressed. And that outfit has a lot of straps. It's very BDSM.
I always think of the Phantom Menace scene with the pilots being held by the ships.
Yeah. It's possible that they could have arranged that ahead of time. Because, you know, Wesker knew he was going to break her out. Because he was no longer in control of the company. So he needs somebody working for him.
And how did he survive?
Well, it's Wesker. He was loaded to the gills with T-Virus. So, for all we know, the little bits and pieces that he got blown into all just kind of came together and reassembled blob-like. I'm more wondering how Luther got on the strike team.
Right.
He was random ex-football player who'd been, holed up in a jail when we first met him. He was on the beach when the strike happened, when the Ospreys came in the last movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he
There's
wasn't on the ship.
actually a deleted scene that shows him watching from the beach. It gives his perspective when they come in.
I thought I remember seeing something like that in the credits or whatever.
Okay, I kind of skimmed the credits. They
Well,
might have had deleted scenes in there.
the last movie they showed, flashes of the battle during the
Okay,
credits.
right.
And I think they did have like a glimpse of him
Oh, I didn't catch
still
it. All
there.
right. It's probably the one they shot that they meant to put in this one. But, okay, he's random ex-football guy. Most likely, if Umbrella found him there, they'd just kill him. Why did Wesker suddenly hire him?
How does Wesker find him? How does anybody find anyone in this?
Dumb one. Although on the positive, we get another Axeman fight with two Axemen.
Yes.
That is a bit longer than the shower fight in the last one.
Yeah.
Get to see a bus nice and demolished.
It still felt like it was
You short?
too short for me. I kind of like in this series, fight scenes are to what Cinemax would be to porn.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just entirely too brief and just not enough detail, you know?
The choreography was way better in this one, I will say,
Oh, I thought we were still in the Cinemax parallel.
though.
Yeah, I would say yeah. They put a lot into the fight scenes in this one.
Because I'll even admit, the choreography in the last one was kind of pitiful.
Oh yeah.
This one has actually some very solid fight choreography.
Definitely. It just needed a little more time for some of them, I think it was entirely low common denominator for this one all the way through. It was, the fight scene, they were worried about people just losing their attention in this one, and they didn't want to take a moment for anything.
It was definitely ADD in a lot of ways, because they had a lot to cover.
Which is crazy considering how slow the last two movies were.
I don't necessarily think the last one was all that slow. I get your point that nothing happened, and I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it was slow. I mean, there was that patch where she was, wandering. But the rest wasn't exactly slow. And the third one, particularly your version,
Oh my
was
God.
very, very slow. I can
Did
understand
you
that.
finally see that version?
Not yet. I might watch it
Oh.
on the week off.
I was hoping you'd see that.
But I was thinking about, just a tangent, I was thinking about the last one over the last week. Because I'd said I prefer it to the first movie, but it's a close call. I think the reason I prefer it, even though, if I'm honest, it is definitely the weakest of the series, four I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think the reason I prefer it is because, and the thing I love about these movies overall is just how cheesy and overwrought the style is.
Yeah.
They're extremely cartoonish, and I really enjoy that about them. And Afterlife is just dripping with that cheesy, overwrought cartoonishness. The first one doesn't have it. They hadn't really figured out what they were doing with the series yet.
No. I mean,
So,
really.
well, admittedly, the first one is a better movie. But it doesn't have that style. It doesn't feel like a Resident Evil movie. I think that's why I prefer four.
I still think overall the second one is the best, with this one
Okay.
very close behind it. This one is the most cartoonish out of all of
Oh,
them,
yeah.
and that's not necessarily a bad thing either, because it is what it
Yeah,
is, you
exactly.
know? Unlike the third one, where they really went Thunderdome on us. And when I mean Thunderdome is they had some decent scenes in the beginning, and then they just went off to, Boredom Town.
You spent twice the time with the survivors that I did. Just bear that in mind.
Yeah.
So that hurt a bit.
That hurt a lot.
No, getting back to Resurrection. I loved Alice's reaction when Becky runs up, hugs her, and calls her mother. Or mommy, or whatever. Because it was just, oh, fuck, no. It wasn't, I think they play it off as, pity for this, hearing-impaired little girl, but she was just, oh, don't saddle me with this kid.
Well, no, it seemed like she just fell right into it,
No, but the
Like,
initial reaction, the eye roll and the head shake, when Becky first hugs her.
Like,
It just read to me as, oh, fuck no.
it's true. There was just like a brief moment, and then right after that, though, it's
She
just as
somehow
if
knows sign language, yeah.
she knew how to sign. It was like she completely took the part that the clone had. She just fell right into the role.
And I think the reappearance of all of the actors from the previous films was interesting because it was fan service for the movies instead of fan service for the games.
Right.
Because there's a ton of fan service for the games in these movies, of course.
Oh yeah. And
That
this one.
was fan service for the fans of the movies. It's just to see, the guy who got, taken apart in the laser grid in the first movie. I can't even think of his name. To see Rain again and of course Oliveira.
If you want a good laugh, and I usually, hate reading other reviews of movies before we do them, because, I don't want to copy anything. But there's a dude on IMDb who wrote a review to this, and oh man, what it was. There is no plot, no cat. This is the direct quote. There is no plot, no catchy story like in previous parts, which when I saw
Well,
that, I must have gone.
two I'll say has a catchy story.
I don't know. It has a story. I don't know about a catchy one though.
Three does largely because they ripped it off from Mad Max, or from Road Warrior rather. Four,
But
no, nothing happens in four. You're right about that. Yeah, no.
who are these people?
Yeah.
Why are they undead? But he goes on to say the same thing I said about the first movie, actually. It was like watching a kid play a first round of a video game.
Well, they're video game movies. And
Which.
actually, one of the comments I saw on this one said it's the most video game-like of all of the movies.
It is. It is. It's the first one I felt was very video game like too, but this one I think even more so.
Also, the first to not feature any zombie dogs.
Oh yeah, that was welcome though, because they were
They
played
kind of
out
overdid
zombie
them, yeah.
dogs. I think even the face tentacles are kind of like, okay, we get it. We've seen this already like 3 times
And
now.
they're a common mob in the game, from what I understand. So
Yeah.
they're a boss in the game, so they got to overdo it. Incidentally, the Village Voice listed this movie as one of the best films of 2012 from a vote of over 300 film critics. I
No
can't even say
shit.
that with a straight face.
No.
Was 2012 that bad?
That's a good question.
I mean, okay, if you're narrowing it down to action films, maybe, but
All right.
films, period?
2012. You know what? I think they may have a point. Let's see.
Okay.
Magic Mike. These are the
I
most
didn't.
popular
I
feature
th know
films
of it. I never
released in
saw it,
2012.
obviously.
Ted, that was, Family Guy the movie. Pitch Perfect. Hunger Games.
I like Hunger Games. Well, it's the first one. I
The
would say that that's
Hobbit.
better than this. Well, they said one of the best, so they didn't say the best.
Let's see, you got The Hobbit.
That bored me.
But then you got like The Avengers, The Dark Knight Rises, Django Unchained,
But from what I've heard, very good.
which is on my Netflix queue to see like really soon.
That has to be better than this. So right there we have five or six movies that I can say, well, I think four or five that I can say for a fact because I've seen them way better. And Django Unchained, I would hope, is way better. So I don't know how that happened.
Prometheus, The Second Taken,
Well, we don't
Looper.
get into Prometheus.
I
Haven't seen any of the Taken movies. I have no interest in them.
I've seen parts of the second one.
Okay.
Just kind of caught it on cable one day and just kind of shook my head.
To quote the title of, I think it was the first Trailer Clash episode I listened to, Liam Neeson Gotta Eat.
The Total Recall remake, the Judge Dredd remake, and Cabin in the Woods, which we'll probably review sometime
Yeah,
soon,
that wasn't bad, aside from the giant spider that popped up once they got into the complex. Oh, remember last week when you were su suggesting that the Umbrella Forces were clones?
Yeah.
Although not mentioned in the finished film, the backstory reveals that the majority of Umbrella soldiers are in fact clones. This
There
accounts
you
for
go.
their vast numbers, explains their allegiance to Umbrella. The only time that this is hinted at is during the scene after the reboot in the facility system. Jill Valentine is activated through the Red Queen, and all of the soldiers seem to wake up simultaneously. And the fact that there are multiple reigns in all of eras, and that guy who got taken apart by the laser grid.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're clones. So it's safe to assume that everyone who works for Umbrella is a clone.
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick Stewart did the voiceover for the trailer.
Oh, really?
Just point that out. I just posted the trailer the night we were recording this, so check that out. Yeah, Patrick Stewart does a voiceover.
Why couldn't they get him for the actual movie?
He's probably a lot less expensive for, you know, a 1 minute voiceover than he is for a whole film.
Yeah, but I mean, they're pretty goddamn desperate for villains in this now.
And Sony is behind it. I mean, they do have money.
I mean,
it's not like it's a low budget thing.
See, the problem with the Red Queen being the arch-villain is that they were establishing in several movies that the Red Queen was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. And now she's completely psychotic.
And now the Red Queen being a computer, being psychotic, doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I think the Moscow scene should be used as a role of that.
What's that?
Yeah, the scene where they're driving around Moscow in the Rolls.
Oh.
That should be an ad, because they have this Rolls Phantom that they're trying to evade, you know, this ginormous liquor with. And it takes so much abuse, but it's still in one piece. It's a perfect Rolls Royce ad.
And honestly, I don't know if it's just from what I can remember, but I'd have to say that was the best sequence in this entire series.
The driving through Moscow?
Yes. It was the best put together. It was, I mean, just from an action standpoint, it was definitely the best action sequence.
Not the one right before with the Nazi zombies.
Nah. Well, that was with the...
Well, the Nazi zombies were... She got them away from the Nazi zombies when she pulled up in the Rolls.
The Red Army zombies, you mean.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. They looked like Nazis to me.
And you know, once you've seen Nazi zombies, Red Army zombies just don't really pack as much of a wallop.
True.
But yeah, I mean, she was, you know, they were, you know, being chased by the Red Army zombies, that whole sequence.
That's true. I was just thought about the looker, but you're right. They were being chased by them too.
I mean, from the point where they, where she sideswipes, was that the Nemesis?
The giant creature that was chasing them?
Yeah.
That was a licker.
A licker, okay. Yeah, so she's, from the point where she pulls up, sideswipes him into the store.
Which
and
is
then...
a little odd, because you'd think that the licker would be much heavier than a Rolls, just from its size.
She had momentum sliding it.
Yeah.
So from that very point to them chasing her, you know, that whole sequence through Moscow, definitely, I think, hands down the best sequence. If I mean, maybe I've forgotten something from the first two, but it's
maybe the second, probably not the first.
But it's definitely, I think, the best sequence in the whole series.
I'm still partial to the church scene in the second one.
And, I mean, but that was the thing. That was very confined. And
yeah, I just, it's the most amusing to me. I mean, if you're looking at just straight action scenes, you're probably right about the Moscow scene. Yeah,
right. Because I mean, any of like the driving sequences in the third one, they didn't really pull very far back camera wise. Everything was very close shots. I mean,
and they weren't driving anything that could really do much.
Exactly. It was just close-ups of them pulling grates off and getting like hit by things. Whereas this, I mean, there were missiles flying into things, and they were kind of going around.
Although the scene in the Umbrella hallway after the Tokyo scene, where she just takes on like 50 zombies, I did enjoy that. Just because she doesn't just shoot them, it's the variety of how she attacks them was nice.
Yeah, you know, this movie is just completely loaded. I would say there's as much action in this one as the last three combined. Honestly, that's even including, of course, the second one.
That's a possibility. Definitely the last two. I'm not sure about.
Only because
The
there's
second one.
so much in this.
Yeah. Definitely more than three and four. Two is debatable.
Yeah.
On October 11th, a platform collapsed during the second day of filming and injured 16 people on the set.
Damn.
According to Toronto police, 10 people were taken to the hospital for emergency treatment, injuries including bruises and broken bones. Emergency workers had a difficult time determining which injuries were real, since the people were dressed in zombie costumes and fake blood.
Oh
Presumably, some of the people injured were, zombie extras, and they were in costume, and they weren't sure. Well, I would think if the skin is coming off from a platform collapsing, probably not real. You're looking at bruises and broken bones in that case, which don't really look like zombie,
Well,
makeup.
I mean, some of the things with the zombies are, their things are falling off,
Yeah, true, true. Now on to the end of the film. Of course, she escapes from Umbrella. There's this big fight in the Antarctic. Have you noticed how Alice's shooting ability tends to vary?
Yeah.
Sometimes she is an incredible shot. She shoots one of the Osprey pilots with coins, from however many hundred feet.
Yeah, how ridiculous was that?
And then
Coins go into the helicopter.
she's made some amazing shots in previous films. But Jill is jumping at her. Alice has two guns on her, pretty much point blank, and she can't hit
That the last fight scene
her.
was probably the dumbest.
Yeah.
Just the whole, oh, there's the titty spider. I could just take that.
Which is straight out of the games. It was featured in the fifth game, by the way.
Yeah. But the fact that the whole fight scene went on there and she, oh, I could just remove that.
Yeah.
Like, well, no shit. I mean, I do kind of like maybe it, think it was, it might have been a nod to Raising Arizona and Randall Tex Cobb and the hand grenade. I don't
Possibly,
know.
possibly. I wasn't a fan of the titty spider attacking on its own.
That was a little Evil Dead kind of thing
Yeah,
going on there.
yeah. But the truly comical part for me, and I think probably the most creative ultimately, was Rain taking the what do they call it? The Las Plagas symbiote or something like that, this little symbiote that basically made her invulnerable.
Yeah.
She couldn't be killed. Of course, this led to the most creative kill in the movies, I think probably in the entire series.
Could be.
Alice shoots the ice underneath her because she'd seen some zombies floating. Not floating, but kind of swimming down there because they don't need to breathe.
Yeah.
Rain falls through, and she's presumably eaten by two other zombies. Although if she's immortal, could she survive that? We
She's
might find out
eaten.
in the next movie.
They reveal she was eaten by more than just two. They
Oh
show.
yeah, they show two dragging her down, but there's a bunch more
And
down
a
there.
whole swarm
Right,
ready to
that's
eat
you're
her.
right. Yeah, she gets swarmed.
So, yeah, then the question is, can she survive that? And how pissed is she going to be?
Yeah, we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah.
And speaking of the next one, probably the best I smell sequel I've ever seen in this movie. Alice passes out. Rain had stopped her heart just before this, and she wakes up on one of the Ospreys with the little girl and
Head tilted to the side, of course.
Jill there, of course. She's taken to the White House.
Which would be the least fortifiable structure in DC aside from maybe the monuments.
Yeah. Although the shot of Rundown DC was a nice nod to Logan's Run.
Oh,
Very
yeah.
reminiscent of Logan's Run.
I think you're right.
And we find out that Wesker is now in charge of the White House, and he needs her help. And wait, earlier in the movie, when one of the mercenaries, one of the strike team members, said that they were sent after Alice because she knew about some weapon.
Yeah.
Did you know she was the weapon?
Of course.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I knew that just because I'd seen the movie before or if it was that obvious, but
Just
it was
fucking
that obvious.
obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Wesker suddenly sneaks up on her, not actually really sneaks up on her, just outruns her and injects her again, giving her powers back. And we see, she's taken to the top of the White House, and we get this pull-out shot that looked like something out of like the most ridiculous scene in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Actually, if you're a fan of the Buffyverse, the last episode of Angel, when the demons were taking over Earth, it looked like that. They pull back, and you've got the army milling around, and then there's the dividing wall, and then you see all the monsters.
And there's like flying zombies and shit.
Well, they're not all zombies. You've got the Lickers and the Magini and the Tyrants. It's the virus affects different people in different ways. The Axemen, you know, it creates different abilities and different, you know, forms in different people depending on their physiology and how they take, how they, you know, how they respond to it and what strain it is. So I can buy the flying zombies. Basically, they're dragons.
Yeah.
So I just love that last shot of everything flying around and this army, you know, of zombies and you know, other creatures. It's just, it really gives you an idea that the next one is going to have even, hopefully, even more action than this one.
I don't think it's possible to have more action than this one.
It's just possible. There was some dialogue in this movie.
I'm trying to remember. There was some in the beginning.
Well, throughout, when they met Becky, there was some dialogue there, and then, you know, when you know, Alice Prime met Rain, the good Rain, there was all dialogue. Actually, the bad Rain too, because there was that whole standoff on the front on the front lawn. You just got to take out those dialogue scenes and throw more action in there.
But there's no possible way to do it though, because then you wouldn't actually have a plot.
Yeah, it's a Resident Evil movie. By the way, speaking of numbers. During its opening weekend, the film grossed just over $21 million domestically, an average of about $6,000 per theater, which makes the film the second lowest domestic opening weekend in the series, with the lowest being the original. However, it broke the series record for the highest worldwide opening with $49.6 million, beating out Afterlife. I was wrong when I said it was the highest grossing film in the series. It was beaten out by this one. So these movies do a lot better overseas than they do here.
Yeah. And I just don't get it. I mean, I think this totaled over 200, you know, million.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, close to 250, I think it was, in theatrical worldwide.
The worldwide was 49 million. Oh, opening with 49 million. Okay, total probably did total that, yeah.
Yeah.
It comes down to, I think, and I think it is the key difference between our opinions of these movies, you know, the extended version of 3 aside, I love the style. I love that cheesiness. And that's, I think, why I enjoy them. If I didn't like that style, the stylized nature, my opinion would probably be along the lines of most critics.
Well, I get it. You're enjoying it for the train wreck.
Yeah.
But the people paying money to, like, see the movies in the theater aren't thinking this is a train wreck.
They might be.
They're in this. Come on, that the one review on IMDb does say it all. Like, they were holding the other ones up with, as having like a catchy plot. I think his exact words. It's fucking hilarious. English isn't his first language. I should not laugh. But no, I mean they're seen as good films, you know. Like, they're not in it for a train wreck. They're not laughing at this or mistying it.
That is a bit odd, because I can't see
very odd
how anyone can go into these and think they're good. My whole
right.
comment to you over the last 4 weeks has been, 5 weeks, however long we've been doing this, has been, you're expecting too much of them. You know, go in knowing they're going to be horrible, and they're fun.
Well, right. And I could see that, and I, you know, I had pretty low expectations.
I first saw these around the same time I finally watched Twilight, and it was because I kept hearing about how bad they were. I'd seen the first one, you know, a couple of years before then, and it was okay. You know, it wasn't actually probably several years before then, because I first saw these like 2 or 3 years ago. So I saw that one when it first hit cable, and I thought the first one was okay. It wasn't great. Nothing to write home about. I wasn't that interested in the series after that. But I heard how horrible these movies were, and I had to see them. And I think it was that church scene from there I was in, just because of how cheesy and over the top they are. But how can anyone actually think these are good movies? The Village Voice from 300 critics said one of the best of 2012, and that baffles me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I was baffled last week to find out how much, those movies, that gross. I was like, wait, really? Like, did it spread from word of mouth? I mean, like, man, you've got to see this.
If it is a man, you got to see this. It has to be because of the cheese factor. I can't see. I don't know.
In an, I can't see a non-ironic
Exactly.
way to see this, I
Oh.
just can't.
It's a Misty movie. I wish Misty could have taken these on, actually.
But I think you might have a point about taking out the dialogue scene because it was just so painful when they were describing like what a simulation was, Like the clouds aren't real. Oh, I'm glad you informed me of that, dude, because I really thought they were now outside because that looked so realistic.
Oh, it might be a brief thought of, okay, how do they do the clouds? We saw that scene before we knew about the simulation. We saw the fall of Raccoon City.
Right.
There might be a thought of, well, how do they do the outdoor stuff if it's, it's all indoors? And so they just wanted to explain that, I guess. That and Anderson had an hour and a half to fill, so he had to put a little dialogue
I think you're right. Take it out.
in. All right, I'm done with my notes.
I am too.
On to sequels and remakes,
Yeah, what are
which
they
we have
doing?
for once.
Oh, really?
Mila Jovovich confirmed on Twitter that they will begin filming the final chapter, and that is, as of now, the subtitle. I hope they come up with something better.
Why not The Last Stand?
In August of this year, for a September 2016 release, I might see this one in the theater. It'll be, obviously the first one, because they were all out. It must have been 2013, 2014 when I. No, it's probably 2013 or late 2012 when I first saw them, because the last one was even out, at least on a streaming site, by then. So it'd be my first opportunity to see a Resident Evil movie in the theaters. I might just do it.
One can only dream.
So we got a year and a half before the next one. So we'll probably end up reviewing it just to complete the set, but you've got some time.
Thank you.
Right, on to brains.
On the brains.
This is probably, I don't know if I like it more than the second one, but it's definitely one of my favorites of the series. Debating now, having talked about it, if I prefer the second or the third. This is a close after that, though. I'm gonna go 4.5.
I liked it. I mean, I think the second one is a more balanced, better put together movie, better acted, better effects too, probably. But this one is still enjoyable. It I mean, there's some good sequences here, and it does not get bogged down in plot. And the little it does, of course, gets in the way. So I'm going three brains.
All right. And what have we learned?
Maybe this only applies to Moscow subway simulations, but the whole third rail rule appears to be bullshit.
Well played.
Thank you.
And I learned that you really can write a film based on location scouting.
That's a small world after all.
All right, so until next time when we'll be reviewing Resident Evil. Just kidding. When we'll be reviewing Mother's Milk.
I think I have an episode title already in mind. It's too obvious, though.
Based on an album by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes, of course.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. And also, if you enjoy the show, give us some word of mouth. Let some people know about the show. Spread the word a bit. We'd really appreciate it. Of course, we appreciate all the listeners we already have, but more would be better. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. I think we're good through March, or at least through most of March, because we've
No
got.
Leprechaun movies planned, huh?
No. Oh, I actually forgot my what have I learned, but I actually came up with another one, but we'll get to my oh my the one I was
What have you learned?
we'll get to the one I was gonna use
Okay.
because I said we're good through most of March. We've got three planned for March, finishing up with Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Oh, Jesus.
And my what have I learned that I had thought of but had forgotten to put in my notes, hence I forgot it when we got to it. I had the better end of this deal. By far. Because you hated two of these movies and you thought three were kind of okay.
Yeah.
And you're gonna hate at least two or three of the Star Trek movies.
I'm definitely gonna hate one.
Well, the one with Christopher Lloyd, you said was crap.
That's true.
And the first one.
Yes.
So there's at least two that you're gonna hate.
The first one is torture.
I enjoyed all of these, and I think, at least a couple of the Star Trek movies are gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Although I think we're probably gonna have a reverse argument about the quality of the films. I was always saying, what do you expect from a Resident Evil movie with these? And I've found out when I revisited Wrath of Khan last summer, I really lost my tolerance for Shatner and most of that cast in terms of their acting ability. Nimoy's really the only decent actor. So yeah, I think I'm gonna be complaining a lot about the acting, and you're gonna be, saying, what do you expect from the original cast of Star
Pretty
Trek?
much, yeah, it's,
It'll be an interesting twist on this series. Anyway, we've got about a month until then.
Yeah.
You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 401-436-8201 or for the Alphanumerico Challenge,
You can
401.
definitely go fuck yourself.
Oh, you can also find the request form and the recommendations list. I forgot to mention this. I got sidetracked. All right, so until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Congratulations. You're officially a badass.
We'd finished the show, and I opened Chrome, and I saw that we had a comment on the trailer for this week's movie, which I unfortunately didn't post until a couple of hours before we started recording tonight, so we didn't really have a chance to see it before we started recording, and I just wanted to respond to it. This is from Danny Meeks on the trailer for Resident Evil Retribution. He posted this on Google+. He said, "Do these movies ever end? Also, I submitted some movies to the recommendations list at the site a while back. Is there any rule against submitting more movies?"
Are
Well,
you in it?
I'll take the second half first. You can submit as many movies as you want. I'll have to take a look at that. I haven't looked at the request form in a while. I've been a little lax on that. So back to the first part. They'll end. Well, for now they've ended. We finished the series.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
I'll probably be watching these again within the year. I think you might revisit 2 or 5.
You wanted me to rewatch the
Well, that's up
shorter
to you.
version of the third one.
It might be interesting to see get your opinion on it, but I'll understand if you don't want to. I think on your own volition, you might revisit 2 or 5 at some point. I
I
think
don't
I have
know.
enjoyed it th those two enough. But yeah, they'll end officially in 2016 when the last movie comes out. For us, they'll end shortly thereafter because I'll probably be in a hurry to review it.
You know when they'll just reboot it. Because they always have to
It's
reboot it.
not Spider-Man. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we just wanted to address that, in a timely fashion since it was about this week's movie. But we'll see you next week.